This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, in the continuing series on 2014, we look back at unfinished business stories whose conclusion maybe we anticipate would happen before the end of the year, and also stories that have quite serious implications for either our politics, our economy, and cultural issues. So I think we want to start with, this is not a comprehensive list, but it is certainly a list that we thought was important to note, isn't it?
Right. Some of the things at the forefront of our minds, things that we thought would be wrapped up this year, but clearly haven't been, and the first one on everybody's mind clearly are the two air tragedies that happened this year, right? MH370 and MH17.
Yeah, and it contrasts quite starkly with QZ8501, in that with that at least we had some sort of closure. The bodies have been found, the plane, and we still don't know why. But when it comes to MH370, we still don't know where and what happened.
Right, so where the plane is, what and what caused the tragedy, right?
Right, and then with MH17, we don't know who is responsible for shooting down the plane, or if it was shot down. So those are kind of the distinct questions there for those two tragedies. Now, with MH370, I think the search and recovery effort continues, mm-hmm. now in the hands of Australia. But what's important to note that with that, the lack of resolution, I think, is, and you know, this has been noted by the media today, also has kind of like surfaced, you know, painful memories. QZ has surfaced painful memories for the kin of those lost in MH370.
Right. Well, I think the search, the mapping out the seabed, will only go on till May of next year. And as of December 11th, initial and partial compensation of at least $50,000 have been given to family members. But unfortunately, many have not accepted it because they consider their family members to be alive as the plane has not been found. So until we know something concrete about the plane and the tragedy, a lot of the compensation cannot be handed out.
Now, with MH17, we have a story that really is linked to the geopolitics of
Russia,
Europe,
and Ukraine, Ukraine
and Central Europe. And we covered that the other day. This is looking at that particular development in terms of what could be an emerging Cold War. But more importantly is, at this point in time, the question is, who shot it down and how was it shot down? Because they are competing theories still.
Ukrainian military blames pro-Russian separatists, who in turn blame Ukraine for the crash. But Putin, president of Russia, has strongly denied any involvement in the incident. And as of end of the year, 44 Malaysian deaths in that tragedy. Only 30 out of the 44 have been identified and returned. Several Malaysian bodies remain unaccounted for.
So that must be quite painful for those families on a personal level. But in some ways, that's an administrative issue. You know, we're looking at the conclusion of and managing all those things. But the big question for MH17 is who. Now, moving right along is the Lee Chong Wei case. We thought we'd bring that up because, of course, he is kind of a sporting icon for Malaysia, because we have rivals to that, like Nicole David, who just won her 8th world title. Lee Chong Wei's troubles kind of like had or put a kind of a dent in our self-perception. I guess we had, you know, so few heroes in Malaysia, and you know, he was one of them. And then to test positive in doping, that was a cause of, I think, great concern and anxiety, I think, nationwide.
Well, I thought that this case would be wrapped up this year because the hearing was initially scheduled for December 8th, but it's been postponed following BAM's request for Chong Wei's lawyer to be given more time to prepare his case. So there's not been a new date announced to when the hearing is going to be held, but this hearing will determine his punishment, and there's maximum of 2-year ban or even a lighter sentence. So right. We'll see, because it's really important. The question is, will this hearing mark the end of Lee Chong Wei's career? Because suspension could bring an end to his 2016 Olympic dreams. So is this the end of his career?
And I think also questions that need to be asked about why he tested positive for dexamethasone. And, you know, was it a question of him taking some other substance and inadvertently taking it? And then question is also, who manages these issues for him? You know, his doctors and such. And how come were they derelict in their duty, you know, to make sure that he doesn't take something that will compromise him in these events? So I think there's still a lot of questions out there. And many others are not talking enough. Mm-hmm. There's been a veil of silence. Everybody, right. We had the hardest time getting comments.
People
in authority. And I think that's really a bad way to go. They really should, perhaps they can sit down and decide what the message is, but they need to communicate. And I think that was one of the big issues for us in that particular instance. Now, moving along, the other big political story that hasn't achieved closure, of course, is the Sodomy 2 trial. Mm-hmm. And it began, you know, many years ago when Anwar Ibrahim was accused of sodomizing his assistant, then Mohammed Saiful Bukhari Azlan,
2009.
He was acquitted some time ago, but in March this year, the Court of Appeal reversed the High Court decision that acquitted him.
That's right.
What we saw really was an appeal, the last stage before Anwar would know whether Anwar was going to serve a 5-year sentence or he was going to serve a lesser sentence or he would in fact be freed.
Okay, so October 28th was the hearing of the appeal at the federal court in Putrajaya. The trial was only supposed to last 2 days, but instead it went on for 8 days. And it ended inconclusively because the 5-member legal panel led by Chief Justice Tun Arifin Zakaria, they all reserved judgment. Yeah, so I think what he said was that he can't give the exact date of when the court will deliver its verdict. But he says it's standard practice for the Court of Appeal and the Federal Court to complete their judgment within 3 months. And in some cases, it might even take up to 6 months. So this definitely will drag on till mid of next year, perhaps.
Yeah, I think, you know, some legal minds and experts that we interviewed at that point in time were divided on whether we were going to get an immediate answer to this process or it was going to be reserved. And because we found out subsequently it was going to be reserved. Now, the issues, of course, for politics in this country is that it has direct implications on the Pakatan Rakyat Coalition leadership issues. And the questions that we were asking then was what was put in place in terms of succession.
Succession plans, yeah.
Right. The other issue is that this case, you know, is being watched internationally. Mm. And I don't think Malaysia and the government has come out very well in this. So it seems like an extension of the political persecution of Anwar Ibrahim. I remember the Edge Review magazine also talked about the amount of energy that's been spent in persecuting Anwar Ibrahim, right? So that was their kind of lead story. And for many, it was Groundhog Day in Malaysian politics to see Anwar again in the dock facing a sentence. And not a bit, I think for many people, regardless of which side of the divide they are, this is not good for Malaysian politics. We've not reached a level of normalcy where, you know, there's political rivalry, but it doesn't descend into this kind of use of institutions and such.
Right. So I think the question we end 2014 with is what will happen to Anwar Ibrahim, right? And we spoke to Gurdiel Singh, the director of Center of Excellence for Biodiversity, and we asked him to explain 3 possible scenarios of the verdict.
If they uphold the Court of Appeal's interference or overruling of the High Court's decision, that means they agree with the Court of Appeal, then it will be a conviction. If they rule that there was no basis or that the High Court's ruling was correct and there was no real basis and that Anwar deserved to be given the benefit of the doubt, as the High Court had given, primarily on the question of the DNA samples, which is critical in this case, then they'll have to acquit him. The other 3rd scenario is as to what punishment, assuming that they go with the Court of Appeal, they also have a discretion as to the punishment, what punishment to give, if they agree with the Court of Appeal. But if they disagree with the Court of Appeal, then there is no option but to acquit Anwar.
That was Gurdiel Singh Nijjar, who is a lawyer and academic based in University of Malaya. Now, the big murder story of the year, I mean, because there are many murders, but this was the one that grabbed front page headlines, partly because the victim was a model. And I remember in particular, the Star had her as a model on their front page. So the images of her, right?
An Estonian model, yes. So Regina Susalu, Estonian freelance model. She was found dead on a beach on Rawa Island on July 1st. She spent most of her time on the island with a boyfriend, Tunku Alang Reza Tunku Ibrahim, who is the member of the Johor royalty. 7 suspects detained to assist with the investigation into the murder, but they've all been released on bail. And so far, nothing new because police had initially classified the death as drowning, but they reclassified it as a murder case when they found some scratches and bruises on her body.
What's interesting is that, you know, it's one of those stories that grabs headlines because it's so dramatic.
Right.
You have a model and you
unsolved
have a member
mystery.
Of the royal family. And because the Johor royal family itself had been in the news much of this year on all kinds of controversial issues, including the Forest City Development
That's
Project.
Right.
And the fact that it's now all gone silent, and I think, you know, for some of the media that were so enthusiastic about this story, to kind of drop it. And I wonder if they dropped it or it's just gone cold. It's kind of telling. And I think questions are being raised now about why has everything gone so silent on the murder of Regina Sisulu.
Right. The last unfinished business of the year I'd like to bring up is on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Nothing new has been brought up. There was a strong push to end TPP negotiations this year, but a similar
deadline. And conclude and actually sign, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But a similar deadline was missed last year. So I think this year's deadline was also very optimistic. We'll stay on that story for next year, but that's our look back at all the unfinished business in 2014 as we usher in the new year. Hopefully 2015 will be better, Sharon.
Yeah, maybe, you know, if you have stories you consider unfinished business, you could tweet us or, in fact, SMS us, and that would be something for us to kind of follow up in the new year.
Definitely. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.